The Gemara establishes that there are three mitzvos which are incumbent upon Klal Yisrael when you enter into the land. Is that correct? Who remembers what these three mitzvahs are? I'll quiz you just to start to get the ball rolling.
Point to king.
Point to king.
Destroy a
Molech. And build a base on me. Correct. And the Gemara goes out of its way to prove that the sequence is absolutely critical. Now, for those of you who have page Shin, yeah, does anybody have page Shin?
Yeah.
So you will see on page Shin a paragraph that begins with the word Vehine, which would be, there are three of them, which would be the middle paragraph on the left column. Okay then? I have another copy here. Actually, I just found another copy. Do you see the word Vehine b'Shmuel? Maybe that clarifies. Okay. Now, just to summarize the last point before this paragraph, so you'll see the perspective. One of the great commentaries, it's called the Nesivos, says that at the time of Mordechai and Esther, the Jewish people fought a battle against Amalek. And the reason they did so is because that was the period of time between the destruction of the first temple and the building of the second temple. And the mitzvah of building the second temple could only be fulfilled after they would destroy Amalek. Let me know if I'm going too fast, because I don't want to spend our limited time on reviewing what we already did last time. But this'll, if you're with me to this point, then this will put things into perspective. So again, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash depends upon the destruction of Amalek. And in Jewish history, what's going to repeat itself is that we always have to destroy our Molech in order to set up the possibility for building the Beis HaMikdash. In Hebrew, we have a phrase, Lachshir Takarka, which means to prepare the groundwork. Preparing the groundwork for building the Beis HaMikdash means destroying our Molech.
That means we never fully destroy them, because each time there's a Beis HaMikdash, we're going after a Molech again.
Each time?
We're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, we're going to go after a Molech. That means we never destroyed them in the first place.
Oh, so that was... Oh, so David, that was... Yeah. Oh. Can I answer your question later, Mitch? I'll tell you why, because I have a long, long answer to that question, but I don't think it'll fit into the perspective of that time frame for today. Okay. Now, there's a very strange, complicated pasuk in Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel. Rashi says he doesn't understand the pasuk. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, not in his commentary on Tanakh, he decides to take a shot at it, as we would say. The pasuk says, "V'yosef af Hashem." The word "af" means anger, and it means that God is anger. He's angry at Hashem, and this is a result of Cherus b'Yisrael, the fact that the Jewish nation has a certain element of freedom. Now, what is God angry about? Okay, the Jews have an element of freedom. Maybe that's room for divine rejoicement. Why is God angry? So the Ramban,
I thought Charapi is anger. That has nothing to do with freedom. It's a different root.
Okay. So what is God angry about? So the Ramban says the following: that the people delayed the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Aron, the ark which contained the Shtei Luchos HaBris, was being transported from Ohel to Ohel, from one tent to another. Tent always symbolizes a temporary kind of dwelling. Kiger ba'aretz, like an alien in the land. Says the Rabban, V'eina shvatim misorim lemar, and the shvatim are not aroused to declare nidrosh es Hashem, let us seek out God, v'nivna habayis lishmo, and let us build a permanent dwelling place for Hashem to reside. Ke'inyon shenemar. So where do we have a source for this, that the Jewish people are held accountable because they are not seeking out a place for God? Shenemar, this is posting in Re'eh, in Parshas Re'eh, in Chumash, l'shichno sidrishu u'basa shoma. Shichno means his shechina, tidrishu, you should seek out, u'basa shoma, you should come to a certain place, and over there you will set up a house for the shechina to reside in. Says the Ramban, ilu hayu Yisrael chafetzim v'dover, the Torah says tidrishu. Tidrishu means that you demand or you crave something. So you should crave the building of the Beis HaMikdash so that the Shekhinah should have a permanent dwelling place therein. And if Yisrael, if the people of Israel would have desired such a thing, v'nis or bo mitchila, and they would have been aroused to feel this way from the beginning, hayanase, now here you have to underline the next three words, b'yamei echad me hashoftim. Now watch what's going on here. We're in Sefer Shmuel. We're learning Navi. But before Navi, we have the Shoftim. The Ramban is saying that the divine anger that is alluded to in the Sefer called Shmuel is a result of what went on, or more precisely, what didn't go on during the period of the Shoftim. If the Jewish people would have desired to set up a permanent residence for the Shekhinah, then during the time of the Shoftim, they should have already established a Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rabosai, the next word is Vitzorach Ir. But let's say you didn't, if you want to play this game with me, let's cover over the Vitzorach Ir. If you've already read it, then there's no game. The game is over. But if you haven't read it, the Ramban, again, I'm going to repeat, and I'm going to hope that you're going to jump out of your seat with an objection to this Ramban. The Ramban can't be right. The Ramban says that the reason for the divine anger is that the Jewish people were not aroused to build the Beis HaMikdash, despite the fact that it was, you know, there was no place for the Shekhinah, and the Aron with the Luchos HaEdus were tromping around from one temporary tent to another. At the time of the Shoftim, as I state in Ramban, the Ramban says at the time of the Shoftim. Anybody have a problem with that?
Needed a melon.
Exactly. We say that there's a three-pronged mitzvah. The first obligation is to appoint a melon. Then the second obligation is to destroy Amalek. And the third is to build a Beis HaMikdash. How could it be that at the time of the Shoftim, the Jewish nation is guilty, according to the Ramban, for dilly-dallying and not fulfilling the mitzvah of establishing a Beis HaMikdash? There was no mitzvah of melech. There was no melech for Yisrael.
That's a great question.
And that's what he says here. He says, "V'tzorach ian, I don't understand. Shoftim, akati." This is the Guru Sitzok talking. At this stage, lo hemidu, they akati means adayin. They hadn't yet appointed a king. Im came there for matvia. What demand or what claim can you have, you know, finding guilt in the people of Israel? Hayal leim against them. Bameshelo bado es beis hamikdash. Bnei Ramban besof parshas b'shalkos abdulonis kaim v'hayav vaniach ad b'yemei shol amelach. That only after we appointed Shol as the king and he fought the battle against Amalek, only at that point were they ready for building the Beis HaMikdash. But at the time of the Shoftim, which is before Minig Melech, way before Shol, and before any destruction of our enemies, obviously the mitzvah, the obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash would not have emerged. So what kind of a claim could there be against the Jewish nation at the time of the Shoftim for not building the Beis HaBechir? That is a summary of this paragraph of Hine. Now, a good Jew will sometimes answer a question with another question, and that's exactly what the Gurus Yitzhak wants to do. So let's put this question for a moment on the back burners to try to understand why the Jewish people are held accountable for not building the Beis HaMikdash during the period of the Shoftim. And let's ask a different question. Now, the question we're about to ask in the paragraph of Hine B'Sifri is a little bit more of, shall I say, perhaps a technical question. But sometimes, not always, but a technical question opens up conceptual vistas. We're going to now analyze the following. What is the mitzvah, the third mitzvah on this list? Two possibilities. One is it's a mitzvah of building a mikdash. The second possibility is that it's a mitzvah of building what's called a beis habechira. A mikdash is a place that has kedushas mikdash. It's sanctified, and the Shekhinah resides therein. A beis habechira means the chosen place. Now, what becomes complicated is where is that chosen place? And for that, we need a Navi to tell us exactly where that place is, that location is. It was pretty much a secret. Fine. So what is the mitzvah? Just technically, is it a mitzvah to build a mikdash? Or is it a mitzvah to build a beis habechira? And guess what? The Rambam contradicts himself. In one place, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah to build a mikdash, and another place he writes that it's a mitzvah to build a beis habechira. There are two parshiyos in the Torah. One parsha in the Torah is in Truma, in Sefer Shmos, and there it says, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'solcham. Does anybody know how that mitzvah was fulfilled? The mitzvah of Parshas Truma, which the Rambam is going to codify in Hilchos Melachim. The second half of Shmos, from Truma until the very end of Shmos, is all about one entity. What is it about? The Mishkan. The Mishkan is called a Migdash. Let's understand why. Because the Mishkan is a designated area for the Shekhinah that is sanctified with Kedushas Migdash. And that's where we bring the korbanos. Where was that Mishkan located? In the Midbar. Later on, it was located in Shiloh, in Nov, in Givon, in many different locations. That's in Parshas Truma. V'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'socham. But there's another parsha in the Torah, and that's Parshas Re'eh. And in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says L'shichno Sidrashu Basa Shama, and then the Torah says El Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. The key word here is Yivchar. That mitzvah is also codified by the Rambam, and that refers specifically to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, which means that that mitzvah could not be fulfilled not in the Midbar, not in Nov, not in Givon, not in Shiloh, nowhere. Only one place on the face of the globe is dedicated for that mitzvah called the Beis HaBechira, Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, that's in Yerushalayim. So who is the first Jew to fulfill the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who is the first Jew to fulfill the mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira? Shlomo HaMelech. Does everybody see that? Moshe Rabbeinu was the first to fulfill the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, the Asuli Mikdash, and that Mikdash could be anywhere on the face of the earth. And Moshe fulfilled that mitzvah in the Mishkan with the help of Bezalel. Yoshua would later on fulfill the mitzvah, and it goes on and on and on. That's the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. It would be Shlomo HaMelech who would be the first Jew to fulfill the mitzvah of Parshas Re'eh of building a Beis HaBechira, because that mitzvah can only be fulfilled in Yerushalayim, nowhere else. And even within Yerushalayim in a specific location. So I'll give you a clear-cut nafkamina between the two mitzvahs. Does anybody know what a bama is?
A stone place to build.
It's a temporary, personal, private altar.
Yeah.
Now, the Torah allows building a bama as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash. But that's true up until a certain point in history. What do I mean? As long as the mitzvah on the table is V'asu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, then the deal is like this. If when there is a Beis HaMikdash, when there is a Mishkan, then we're not allowed to build a bama. We have to, we're obligated to come in front of the Beis HaMikdash, in front of the Mishkan. But there are many periods of time in betwixt, right, between this Mishkan and that Mishkan. During those in-between time periods, you were allowed to build a bama. That's called Roman numeral number one. At what point in history was bama completely prohibited? When they built the Beis HaBechira. The Beis HaBechira has an entirely different significance or status in Halacha. Beis HaBechira means that this is the chosen place. Once you have a Bechira, that excludes any other place on the face of the earth for all eternity. What shall I say? Again, don't take me, you know, this analogy too far, but Klal Yisrael are called the Am HaNivchar. Once there was a Bechir of Klal Yisrael, there could no longer be a choice for any other nation. Once there was a Bechir of the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and who fulfilled that mitzvah? Shlomo HaMelech. From that time henceforth, there's no room for a Bama. There's no room for another Beis HaMikdash anywhere on the face of the earth. That's the significance of a Beis HaBechir. Now, if you take a look at the Rambam, there are two different Rambams that we have to see. So again, if you're on page Shin, and you're at the very, very end of that page, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, this is the opening Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, which you'll see quoted on the last line of your page, and the Rambam is basing himself on a Sifri in Parshas Re'eh on the Pasuk, Ki im el ha-mokom ha-shayivchar Hashem. The Rambam writes, Sholosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'eis k'nisosim l'aretz. And the third of that mitzvah, which starts with the word livnos on page Shin, and then if you flip to page Shin Aleph, continues with the words lahem, livnos lahem, beis, what's the next word? Habachira, you want to highlight that word in yellow, red, blue, whatever color you like. Because here the Rambam is addressing Parshas Re'eh, and the Rambam is codifying the mitzvah in Parshas Re'eh. And in Parshas Re'eh it says, L'shichno sidrashu basa shama, and then the Torah says, Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem. The Sfir Leila Rambam, the Rambam holds, the hachiyuv lidrosh es hamakom ha-migdash, yalfina mihach krod l'shichno sidrashu. Sidrashu means you should demand or crave to establish that makom. All this is in the first halacha in Hilchos Melachim. Now let's go flip backwards to another Rambam. Where is the other Rambam? I don't know. I thought I saw it here. Just 1 second. Okay. It'll come to me in just a minute. I think it's the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos. No, I'm sorry. It's the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that mitzvahs aseh livnos lahem Beis HaMikdash. You hear this? In Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam speaks about a Beis HaMikdash, and he quotes the pasuk, V'asu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, the pasuk from Parshas Truma. So there are two different sources in the Torah and two different codifications in the Rambam for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. One of the issues that's going to come up is why the Rambam doesn't count them in Minyan Taryag as two separate mitzvahs. Okay, that's going to be an issue. So again, when it comes to the building of a Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam is going to quote the pasuk in Parshas Truma, Yasuli Mikdash v'Shachanti b'Socham. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. But when we're talking about the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira, the Rambam derives from Parshas Re'eh, L'Sishno Sinishu, etc., in Hilchos Melachim, that mitzvah. Now, what I'd like you to perhaps fast forward, if you can, on page Shin Aleph, about two-thirds down the right column, the first word in the line is mitzvahs. I don't know if you're able to find that. Ulefi zeh. Do you see it says ulefi zeh? So that ulefi zeh should really be a new paragraph. Asi shapir mashakosav Ramban dahoisa tviya al bnei Yisrael ba meshalo nisaru nisoru lidrosh sashem bimea shoftim. And the Ramban quotes the pasuk l'shichno sidrashim. How could the Ramban say that God was angry at the Jewish people because they didn't build the Beis HaMachira? There was no Melech. And the answer is the lahachiv de l'shichno sidrashu lo be'inon Melech. Let's underline those words. Lahachiv. For that obligation, which is codified by the Torah in Parashas Re'eh, of L'shichno Sidrashu lo be'inon melech. V'chein lo be'inon she'iskayim v'hoya be'aniach. We don't need that first we should destroy our enemies. So again, Rabosai, what's happening here is that according to the Ramban, and we saw this reflected also in the Rambam, there is a mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira, and that mitzvah is codified where everybody, in which parasha in the Torah, in parasha Re'eh, the Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Molach in Perek Alpha Locha Aleph, L'shichno Sidrashu Basa Shama. And that pasuk indicates that we have to be Doresh, we have to demand, so to speak, or I'm looking for a better word, but not demand in the sense that, you know, you bang your hand on the table, but we have to desire, crave, I don't know what word to use, I'm still looking for a good word for it. Lidros. To what? To beseech, no, to seek out. Do you follow anybody? Seek out. Seek out means that if you want to get a job, you're going to get on a plane and fly to Korea, wherever it is on the face of the earth, if that's where you think you're going to get a job. That's Lidros. Lidros means you're not going to leave any stone unturned. You'll take every interview that you can.
Pursue.
Excellent. I like the word pursue. So that's the mitzvah pursuing the Mikdash. And that mitzvah is independent of the mitzvah of Melech and destroying our enemies. It's a separate mitzvah. We have another mitzvah which is derived from Parshas Truma, and that's a mitzvah to build a base HaMikdash. And a Beis HaMikdash means any Mishkan of Shechina is called a Beis HaMikdash, has the Kedushas Mikdash. So now, perhaps we can understand what's going on over here. Why is it that during the period of the Shoftim, there's a claim, says the Ramban, against the people of Israel that they've been lax about building a Beis HaMikdash? And we said, that doesn't make any sense because first you have to appoint a king. So he says the following. This is the paragraph that starts Vinira on the bottom of the right column of page Shin Aleph. Yeah? He says the following. Yesh La'ayin. Yesh La'ayin is another way of saying Yesh Lachkar. Yesh Lachkar means we have two. We want to suggest two possibilities and see if we can come to some conclusion. When we say that you need three mitzvos in sequence, first appointing a king, then destroying Amalek, and then finally building the Beis HaMikdash, what does that mean? Does that mean that if we change the order, then we messed up bad and we forfeited the mitzvah? That's called on the top of your left column, Lokimu HaMitzvah Karoy. O means the second possibility. No. You could change the order, but you're not obligated to fulfill Mitzvah Gimel, let's say, before you fulfill Mitzvah Aleph and Beit. So the sequence is in terms of your obligation. As far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, which you'll underline on the top line, Kiyum HaMitzvah, there is no sequence. The Kiyum HaMitzvah would be meaningful even if it's out of order. But as far as the chiyuv of mitzvah, you're not obligated unless you go through this order. So according to the second interpretation, which is the O, if let's say you would build a Beis HaMikdash before the king was appointed, leka graves of the chiyuv of mitzvah. There's no lack or deficiency in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's an absolute chiyuv of mitzvah karod. You aren't obligated to build a Beis HaMikdash at that moment. But nevertheless, if you did so, then you fulfilled the mitzvah karoi. The first side of the Gemara was to say that there's no kiyuma mitzvah. The mitzvah is meaningless unless first you've appointed a king and destroyed Amalek. The Ramban might hold, like, which of these two tzadim? Is it meaningful to have a base of English without a king? Or that's not a kiyuma mitzvah, you forfeited the mitzvah. Which of those two tzadim do you think the Ramban would hold like? When he says that we were at fault and guilty of not building the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the Shoftim. Well, if you go with the first one, again, I don't know what you mean by the first one, but the first one, the way he presents it, then the whole mitzvah was not fulfilled if you change the order. So it's very odd that God would have a claim against us and punish us with divine anger because we could have what? Built a Beis HaMikdash? That would not be a mitzvah. That would be meaningless. There's no kiyuma mitzvah. But if you go with the second side, that although they weren't obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash because they didn't have a melech and they didn't destroy a molech yet, but nevertheless they could have fulfilled the Beis HaMikdash and they would have had a kiyum mitzvah, then perhaps we can understand the Ramban. The Nero Desfile in the Ramban, Dahach Seder Havirach Seder B'chiyum HaMitzvah. And they're not obligated in the midst of building a Beis HaBechira until first they appoint a Melech and they destroy Amalek. Aval HaMias, however, you have to grant me, says the Ramban, that even if they haven't fulfilled yet the mitzvah of appointing a king or destroying Amalek, nevertheless they do have the possibility, there is a potential here of fulfilling the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaBechira. They're not obligated to do so. So what was the divine anger against the Jewish people? He says the following. The Ramban holds that even before the chiyuv of a mitzvah, sometimes God will have a claim and a taina against you. Why didn't you fulfill this mitzvah? Even before the obligation emerges. That's paradoxical. If I'm not obligated, why does God have a claim against me? Says the Ramban, we have to understand the nature of this mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah here of building a Beis HaBechira is because of l'shichno sidrishu. That means you are pursuing, you are demanding, you are craving the honor and the glory of the Shekhinah. That the Shekhinah should have a resting place. The Shekhinah was always shown around the Aron. And the Ramban says that if you look carefully at the Pasuk's claim against the Jewish people was that the Aron is holech mi-oel li-oel from tent to tent, kiger ba'aretz. It's like an alien in the nation. What are the Jewish people feeling at this point? Don't they feel l'shichno sidrishu? Don't they want to be doresh, a permanent place where the Shekhinah could reside, where the Aron with the Shtei Luchos Abris, the Luchos Eidus would find its permanent resting place? And Kevan, according to the Ramban, im yivnu as hamikdash mikodem, if they build the Beis HaMikdash before they appoint a king or destroy Amalek, they will fulfill the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Again, they're not technically obligated, but lo yegreyusa b'kiyuma mitzvah. There's nothing lacking, no deficiency in the actual kiyuma mitzvah. V'afal gav da'kati lo nischayru b'mitzvah zu, even though they're not obligated to fulfill this mitzvah, and the conditions necessary for the obligation to emerge have not yet been fulfilled, Mikolakom, nevertheless, Havilei Livnoso, sometimes you should fulfill a mitzvah even without an obligation, what we call a voluntary kiyum. And when is the situation ripe for a voluntary kiyum? That's when you understand the nature of the mitzvah and you see why there's an urgency in fulfilling that mitzvah even though you're not technically obligated yet. The conditions for the obligation have not yet emerged, but you could be Mekayim the mitzvah. Again, going with the second side, which is on the top of your left column, O, on the second line. do rak seder b'chiyuve ha-mitzvah, aval afi mason shalokis sidron, even if he starts with building the Beis HaMikdash instead of starting with appointing the king, etc., leka graim so b'kim ha-mitzvah, there's no lack in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. You can certainly be mekayim the mitzvah karoi kilchasa, the way it should be done, even before the chiyuv has emerged. So what's the claim against me? I'm not obligated in this mitzvah. I'll give you an example. Again, Marshall, don't equate it, but tzitzis. Am I obligated in tzitzis?
No.
No, I had only if I wear a beged of dalet kanfis. And yet the Gemara says that if a person has the option, the possibility of wearing a beged of dalet kanfis, and he doesn't do so, then he's worthy of punishment. Certain mitzvahs are so obligatory. Like, for example, we'll have this in Korban Pesach. There's something called Richuk Makom, that if you're too far away from the Beis HaMikdash, you're not chayav in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Again, there are different shitas, Rabbi Akiva, different Tanoim. But what happens in a situation where technically you're beyond the pale, you're in B'makom Rachok, but all you have to do is jump over to the other side and you'll be obligated in the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach. You follow me? There are situations in which a Jew has to evaluate whether or not it's worth it for him, even though the obligation technically has not yet been set into motion to fulfill the mitzvah, nevertheless. And since the nature of the mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira is l'shichno sidrashu u'bas ha-shaman, sidrashu means that you should have this inner desire, and you should look at an appalling situation where the Shechina has no resting place, no permanent abode in this world, and instead the Aron HaBris is going from Oel to Oel, Kiger Ba'aretz, then the Jewish people at this point should have what? They should have been motivated on their own to accept upon themselves this mitzvah, even if technically they weren't obligated to do so. And then in the next paragraph called V'nireh, he goes on to ask another question. What is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, which on the third line he calls Etzem Maisa HaBinyon? Do you see this? Or is the mitzvah on the fourth line Chiehei Beis HaMikdash Banui, that it should be built? Do you follow? How do I understand the building of the mitzvah? Is the building of the Beis HaBechira the mitzvah per se? Or is the mitzvah the result of the action of building the Beis HaBechira? In other words, the final result that you have a Beis HaBechira. According to the second Tzad, he says, Havi mitzvah nimsheches tadir. It's a mitzvah that is continuing constantly. It's not a one-time mitzvah that was fulfilled at the moment that we built the Beis HaMikdash, but rather, v'meshe yesh Beis HaMikdash banui. The fact that the Mikdash is built, that's the result, the final existence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he calls a mitzvah hanimsheches. You know, like in tzitzis, I gave the example before. So what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah putting on the tzitzis, putting on the beged? Or is the mitzvah that I'm wearing the beged, having the beged on my body? Having the Beis HaMikdash is the mitzvah. Well, if you accept that, then it could be I can go even further, even according to the first tzad on the top of the page, that this mitzvah cannot be fulfilled, the mitzvah building a Beis HaMikdash, until you have a melech and you've destroyed a molech. It could be that if we shift the mitzvah from the building of the Beis HaMikdash to the having the Beis HaMikdash as a built enterprise, then Eino Chinami, they have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. Even at the time of the Shoftim, had they taken the initiative to build a Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't have fulfilled the mitzvah according to the first tzad on the top of your page. But later on, after they appoint a melech, and after they destroy a melech, then they fulfill the mitzvah. Why? Because the mitzvah is not the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which they built in a sense prematurely, but rather it's having the Beis HaMikdash. And that they have, li'achar zman. Is mikomakom lo gara, there's no deficiency in the following two possibilities. You can either wait until after a period of time when we appoint a king, etc., etc., and then build the Beis HaMikdash, or build the Beis HaMikdash before the mitzvah has emerged. In both cases, it's the same. Why? Because achar kach sheyeh lehem melech v'yizkayim mitzvah mechias ha-molech, yizkayim gam ha-mitzvah shel binyan Beis HaBechira karoi. So in other words, we don't lose anything by building the Beis HaMikdash before the mitzvah has emerged, because in any event, the mitzvah will be achieved after the two prerequisites. And at that moment in time, we have the mitzvah. L'kachos ha'tfiyah al klal Yisrael, the claim against us, shehavilei livnos ha'migdash, that we should have built the Mikdash, that the Aron should not be holech mi oel yol kiger ba'aretz. And all this is a result of the fact that we can build the Beis HaMikdash, make sure that there's a permanent place for the Shekhinah. And it could be that technically the mitzvah will only be fulfilled later on, after the first two mitzvahs are fulfilled, but nevertheless, there's a tefiyah against us. How can we tolerate this mitzvah, this situation in which the Aron is floating around and it doesn't have a permanent place there?
You said that before, the debate that here can only be in Yerushalayim. Is that correct? Was that Hashem's choice or is that our choice? And if it's Hashem's choice, how are we held liable if it was Hashem's choice to show us that place to build the base of the Hira?
Correct. It could be that already at the time of the Shoftim, we have to know exactly when the secret was revealed, where was the Makom HaMikdash. So Yoshua comes into the land. It takes him 7 years to conquer the land. We have now Yerushalayim under, you know, whether it's Shevet Binyamin, Shevet Yehuda, part here, part there, but we have control over the land, correct? And once we have control over the land, we have to ask ourselves the question, should we build a house which will host the Shekhinah, or should we wait until after, down the line, which Shaul HaMelech is appointed as the king, he'll destroy Amalek, and then we'll build a house for the Shekhinah. Well, the answer is, we have within our power now to fulfill that mitzvah of L'shichno Sidrashu Ubas HaShavah. We know where the Makom HaShem Yivchar Hashem is. And therefore, how can we tolerate a situation which is totally unacceptable, where the Shekhinah and the Aronat Bris is floating around from one place to the other? We've got to get a permanent place for the Shekhinah to reside. So it's really fascinating to me that if you accept this structure, based again on the Ramban and Chumash, the Ramban is in Parshas Korach, it comes out that we have to change our whole understanding of what does it mean a chiyuv mitzvah. We understand, again, before today's discussion, that a chiyuv mitzvah means, up until a certain point, when certain conditions are met, I'm not obligated. You know, you want to talk to me now about a mitzvah that I will be obligated in the future. Yeah, it's nice, you know, we have to learn Torah, we have to know. But in practical terms, it's meaningless. Well, why are you teaching me about a chiyuv that hasn't yet emerged? I'm not chayiv now. Wake me up in a year and tell me I'm chayiv, in 10 years, in 1,000 years. But the answer is not so. It's not that, you know, we're overly simplistic. It's much more profound than that. There are certain mitzvahs which, although on a chiyuv level they may be contingent upon certain conditions, but nevertheless the reality situation demands or jumps out at us and says, how can you tolerate the situation without fulfilling the mitzvah? Again, l'chora, that only makes sense if I can preempt the mitzvah before the conditions. If you're telling me that the mitzvah will be meaningless before those conditions are met, so that's where he vacillates back and forth. What are these conditions of Melech and Amalek? Are they conditions that make the Kiyum HaMitzvah feasible? Or no? Those are only conditions in the Chiyum, which makes them technical preconditions. But as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, we can obtain the Kiyum HaMitzvah even before the Chiyum. Now again, I want to just make one important point here. There are mitzvahs which is a Kali Toli Bizman. A mitzvah that's totally bizman cannot be fulfilled before the zman. Why? Because the zman itself sanctifies the mitzvah. So for me to take a lulav today, you know, 8 months ahead of Sukkot would be meaningless. Or to eat matzah tonight would be meaningless. That's a mitzvah tliyah bizman. But the Beis HaMikdash, it's a different kind of an interdependence. It's not a contingency in zman. It's a contingency in getting the Melech organizing the people, fighting the battles, the wars against Amalek, those contingencies are only technical in terms of setting up an absolute chiyuv. So if after the king destroys Amalek and they don't build the Beis HaMikdash, we are guilty of a bittul chiyuv. We have not fulfilled our obligation. But God might have a taina to us on a whole different level. And this is very fitting or appropriate for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when the situation of the Shekhinah and the Luchos HaEdus is so sad, and we're, you know, we're living, David HaMelech is going to say, I'm living in a palace, and the Aron HaBris is in a sukkah, you know, some sort of temporary dwelling, which is made of, covered over with cedar trees and branches, or whatever it is. How can we tolerate that? Now again, we have to end now, but I just want to point out to you on page Shin Bet, in modern Israel, you know, Shin Bet has a specific meaning, but I didn't refer to that. We're not in the Shin Bet. But there's a paragraph that starts, Sholosh Mitzvos Nitztavu. Do you see that?
Yep.
So he quotes here the Rambam that I was referring to earlier in Beis HaBechira, where the Rambam says, Mitzvah say lasos bayis lashem, shenem aviyosuli migdash. Ukvar nisparish by Torah, Mishkan Shasa Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., etc. Then he talks about the Mishkan in Gilgal and Shiloh and so forth and so on. So it's clear from the Rambam that there's a mitzvah of Asiyas Migdash, which is fulfilled by a Mishkan, and there were many different Mishkanos in different locations on the face of the globe, and each one was the fulfillment of the Asuli Migdash. However, we had before a Rambam in Hilchus Melachim, and there the Rambam said that Sholosh Mitzvos Nitztavu Yisrael Beis Knisos Lamaretz, and the third of it was Livnos Beis HaBechira, and he quoted the Pasuk L'Shichnos Sidrushu Basa Shalom. So the Gvuras Yitzchak in the paragraph that starts L'Chora comes to the conclusion that since the Rambam codified this mitzvah twice, and not only that, he quotes two different parshios in the Torah as the basis for these two mitzvahs respectively. And furthermore, in one case he speaks about the mitzvah of Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira, and that's the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. But here in Hilchos, just one second, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, B'Shalosh Mitzvahs, there he calls it Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira. But here in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he says, Livnos Lahem Bayis Lashem, Shenem Yosuli Migdash. So he doesn't mention a word about Beis HaBechira. Ulech Ora, that's on the bottom right, he says, Yesh Lomer Dehoyu Shahoya Trei Mitzvos. That in fact there are two different mitzvos. One is a mitzvah of Livnos Migdash, and number two, Shein is mitzvah Livnos Beis HaBechira, B'makom HaNivchar B'Yushalayim. So building a Mishkan, for example, in the Midbar, or in Nov, Gimon, etc., etc., they were Mekayim the mitzvah of Yosuli Migdash, that the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. But in Hilchos Melachim, then the Rambam says the mitzvah of building the Beis HaBechira, that can only be fulfilled with one single Makom. And that, what's that Makom? That's Yerushalayim. That's called the Bechira. The Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And the Rambam quotes a whole different source for that mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira. And again, that's why the Rambam preempts it, and he says, these are Sholosh Mitzvah and it's Taveis Knisos La'aretz, because as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, he had a mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash V'yasuli Mikdash, but the specific, unique mitzvah of Beis HaBechira, that could only be fulfilled after Klal Yisrael enter into the land. And here the Rambam is not going to quote the Pasuk V'yasuli Mikdash, but rather the Pasuk L'shichno Sidrushu Basa Shama. He ends up this whole presentation with the Tzarech Iyun. Why doesn't the Rambam count these as two separate mitzvahs? I'm not so bothered by this question, because once you have the opportunity in the Beis HaBechira to fulfill the mitzvah of L'shichno Sidrushu Basa Shama, then Memela, any other Mikdash that you built, that's all historical, if you follow what I mean. that is all in the past, before you built the base of Achira. So before you build the base of Achira, there's a possibility of being a kind of mitzvah of building a base of Migdash, Yosuli Migdash, and that applies anywhere in the world. But once we now historically get to that point, chronologically we'll call it, that we fulfill the mitzvah base of Achira, from that point and on, there's no mitzvah building a base of Migdash. There's a mitzvah building a base of Achira. And the difference is that with regard to Beis HaMikdash, you can have it anywhere on the face of the earth, and after that Mikdash is destroyed, you have what's called a Heter Bavos. And you could bring a carbon on a Bavos, and that's not true in the case of the Beis HaBachir B'Yerushalayim. Even after we lost the Beis HaMikdash, or during this period of time that we're in now, after the second Mikdash is destroyed, we don't have a Heter Bavos. That's called Bechira. Bechira means the place is chosen, and that's it. But again, what do you build in the base of Achira? You build the base of Mikdash. So the mitzvah of Yosuli Mikdash is part and parcel of the mitzvah of L'shichno Sidru Shubas Hashama. Hence the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. Okay, Rav Osa, we'll stop here. And tomorrow we'll try to make some more progress. Again, you have two choices. Either you hold on to these pages, or I'll hold on to these pages. Boy.
Just every day,
this shiur should take place on Mondays and Tuesdays, or on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Did I get that right? Let me go over that again. It's either Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday.
How's it decided?
I don't know exactly how to decide. I was hoping that with the passage of time, we would somehow iron out these glitches and figure that out.
But you're still committed for Wednesdays.
No, I'm finished with the OU. Yeah, they took away, this way in Yiddish it's called Ois Kapelushmacher. You know, they took away my. I was subbing for something.
So we're going to meet this one tomorrow then? Or?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow's good, because we didn't meet on Tuesday.
Monday.
Although I met with David on Tuesday, but that was
it. It was Monday.
Today, I meant to say.
It was Monday.
Yeah, let me go over this again.
Okay.
You know, it's either Monday or Tuesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit good. Yeah, so we didn't meet on Monday, so we're meeting Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay, and that's this week. What will be next week, you'll let me know, you know, when you're free.
I'll set up this appointment tomorrow.
That's
tomorrow.
A fluke.
Yeah.
Because I think you told me it's in general Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's good.
All right. You mean even a doctor has to sometimes go to a doctor?
Especially every time you